ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। So we are continuing our Viveka Chudamani class. In our last class, we have been discussing mostly about how to progress in spiritual life. What is the obstruction in spiritual progress? If we squeeze the very essence of everything, then we can understand it is nothing but ahankara and the power, the force with which this ahankara really binds human beings, it is indescribable. That is why Sri Ramakrishna used to answer many times, when the I is destroyed, then I realize God. This is what is being told in verse 343 of the Viveka Chudamani. Arudha shaktehe ahamo vinashaha kartum nashakyaha sahasapi panditaihi e nirvikalpakhya samadhi nischalaha tan anantaran anta bhavahi vasana, anta bhavahi vasana. This ahankara, that means false ego, the infinite thinking I am the finite, and the finite thinking I am the infinite, the pride and the jealousy, the anger, the desire, these are all the after effects of ahankara. In the yoga system of Patanjali, Patanjali defines ahankara in a beautiful way. Ahankara is the result of avidya. Avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, and abhinivesha. Avidya means not knowing who I am. It doesn't stop there, but it makes us think we are somebody else. Not to know who we are is equivalent to knowing we are somebody else. In our day-to-day experience, if someone whom we know, suddenly if that person were to be asked, who are you? And he replies, I am the Prime Minister of India, then we are more likely to take that person a lunatic asylum. And according to Sri Ramakrishna, we are all lunatics. Literally, it is true. In the sense, we have forgotten who we are and we are claiming we are somebody else. Even people, Shankaracharya is telling us, even greatly learned people who go on giving lectures, if some untoward event happens, then they also, without their conscious knowledge, this ahankara comes to the fore. I'll give you two examples. One example is from the life of Sri Ramakrishna himself. We all know that Totapuri was the sannyasa guru of Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna was one day talking with Totapuri Maharaj, and this Totapuri Maharaj was talking, everything is Brahman. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you taste, touch, smell. In other words, the whole world is none other than Brahman. Meaning, the whole world is none other than myself. Whenever anybody says everything is God, indirectly it should mean that I am God, because logically it follows, if everybody is God, then I myself am God. So this is what Pratapuri Maharaj was lecturing. And Sri Ramakrishna fell down on the ground and started rolling. And Pratapuri couldn't understand. Why? Because at that time, a temple servant came and Pratapuri could not see the temple servant as Brahman, as God, as himself. He was about to beat him. And he was a very strong Punjabi man. So if one small blow from his hands, probably would have injured the servant very much and with iron tongs. Now the point is, why did not Pratapuri recognize, this is me, how can I beat myself? How can I pollute myself? But such is the power of this ahankara. When a person doesn't feel that I am Brahman, he has to feel I am somebody else. And that's exactly what happened by the will of the Divine Mother. And recently, I find a very strange phenomena that there are some groups which are supposed to be broadcasting, publishing only spiritual news. But some devotees are so obsessed with this corona. Every single day, many of them are sending messages and very heavy videos into the phones. I was surprised. Why are you so much obsessed? As I mentioned last time, this is a kind of God's warning. And again, I repeat, because we need to hear many times, whatever happens in this world, from the viewpoint of devotees, for the devotees, it is the will of the divine, and whatever is will of the divine is good. It doesn't mean we should neglect to do what is necessary. Take all the care necessary, and whoever is bound to suffer or die, they will, and whoever is not bound, they will be okay. So this is a call for awakening for each one of us to introspect and say, what am I doing with my life? Especially this is a good period to be at home and spend more time, because so much of pollution is reduced by people not commuting and creating a lot of pollution. And we get so much of time. Those who complain that they do not have enough time, this is the time for them to think. That much of time and so much of mental energy we spend in commuting, now we can relax at home and make up our minds to do japa, to pray for everybody, and to contemplate ourselves. Especially it is very necessary to contemplate on the fact of death. And to progress towards God, we have to think about the ephemerality. And of all the ephemeralities, death is the greatest factor. This is not to discourage us or depress us, but simple recognition of the fact that birth and death, they are two sides of the same coin, and they always go together. So these are the two examples. Just now, I am remembering a beautiful incident from the life of Swami Akhandananji. One day he went to see a Brahmana family at their earnest request, and he was staying there in the outer room. And then this family had arranged what we call in South India Harikatha, and a pandit from another village came there, and he delivered this beautiful Harikatha. Of course, Swami Akhandananda didn't attend, and then he came back. And the Swami Akhandananda and this Brahmin pandit fell to introduce each other, and he was a very nice person. Then Akhandananda asked him, what was the topic of your Harikatha? Oh, the ephemerality, the temporariness of life, and the three types of suffering we undergo. And I have given a very beautiful katha singing and a little bit of explaining, etc. So then after they had their dinner, and after a few minutes, suddenly the pandit had gone out. And Swami Akhandananji was watching him. And after a few minutes, again he went back. He was going frequently. Swami Akhandananda ji asked him, How is these motions? Is it very loose? Jalavat ati taralam. That is just like water. And he quoted something. It is life is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. And within a few hours, everything is finished. Had the Pandit known that what he was explaining so much to others, he himself had to leave this world so suddenly, and when he was not with his family, and he was not at all prepared. So this is what Sri Ramakrishna always advises. Think that death is chasing you day and night. It has surrounded you. Take up the name of the Divine Mother and fight. What I am saying is not to depress you or discourage you, simply to recognize the effect of life. And why is it that we are not able to really make up our mind and try to progress in spiritual life? Because our attachments to this world are very, very strong. This was what Patanjali was trying to convey to us. Avidya produces asmita. Asmita means egotism. This is me. And I am not anything else, anybody else. And this identity is with the body mostly and with the mind. That's why we are always worried about our own happiness, our own safety, and we want to accumulate everything for the sake of future security also. Then this asmita or ahankara produces two types of reactions. Whatever be the events we undergo in life, they are called raga and dvesha. When something gives us happiness, we become attached to it and we run towards it. And when something gives us unhappiness, then we try to run away from that situation as much as possible. So, whole life is nothing but running towards what gives us pleasure and running away from what gives us suffering. Raga, dvesha, attachment, likes and dislikes, attachment and aversions. So this is produced. But the main root instrument, the main instrument for us either to become a yogi or to become a bhogi or to become a rogi, this body alone is the only instrument. That is what our scriptures are telling so beautifully. Shariram adhyam khalu dharma sadhanam. This body is the only instrument for us. Either we want to become yogis, bogis, or rogis. So we have to be very careful in looking after the body. At the same time, we have to avoid excessive attachment or excessive hatred also. Very interesting phenomena. Does anybody hate himself? Yes. When the body becomes a source of trouble, then we wish to die, meaning that we don't want this body, which is incapable of giving us so much of happiness, pleasure, satisfaction, satiety, etc. So this is what Viveka Chudamani's 342nd verse is telling. Even wise men, pandits, cannot suddenly destroy egoism after it has once become strong. But can nobody do it? Or can some people do it? Yes, barring those who are perfectly calm through the Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So what is it telling? If we steadfastly practice spiritual disciplines every single day and try to increase the intensity of spiritual practice, that means derive more joy from God, and we develop so much of non-dependence upon worldly objects. Here is the psychological law. If we can get more joy from God, after all, when we develop attachment or aversion to objects, our only goal is to increase our pleasure. If we can get more joy in thinking of God, in repeating his name, in studying sacred books, in holy satsanga, etc., then we don't need to depend upon these things. Our attachments very naturally becomes loose, and we are in a good shape to progress towards God. Of course, here Shankara is referring to Nirvikalpa Samadhi, which is far away from all of us. But that doesn't mean that we cannot enjoy thinking of God in our own simple way, so becoming like children and looking at the face of the mother through our devotion to God. If we can feel our close relationship with the divine, then that is also we are progressing towards God. Here I want to remind all of you and myself also one fact. Nirvikalpa Samadhi is the term we use, especially in the yoga system. And even Shankaracharya, who is a Pakka Advaitin, he also uses the same words. But it is not necessary. If God is gracious, he can lift up anybody. So we depend upon the God's grace, upon the goodwill. Somehow or other, if we can please the Divine Lord, Divine Mother, by what we call falling at their feet, by begging and by praying with tears in eyes, that is also more than enough. So that is Bhakta's Nirvikalpa Samadhi or even Savikalpa Samadhi. So accepting the people who are striving their level best to progress in spiritual life, meaning they derive more and more joy, therefore they develop more attachment towards God, accepting for them, even if a person is one of the greatest pandits in the whole world, he will not be able to conquer his egoism. On the other hand, if a person gets more name and fame, it may even increase. So, practically speaking, our problem is ahankara. Even we have become such sensitive plants, even if somebody talks to us with goodwill and for our welfare, something which we do not like, we are likely to cut off our relationship with that person. Or if we cannot, mentally look down upon that person and distance ourselves. We are like Madhu and Kaitava, are slaves to the good words about us uttered by other people, even after knowing that we do not deserve such praise from other people. The Acharya is continuing about this ahankara. And this ahankara suffers from two powers. In Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta, in the path of Jnana Marga, the explanation why we forgot our real nature is we are overcome by avidya. And avidya has two powers. One is called Avarana Shakti and another is called Vikshepa Shakti. I have discussed about this earlier, but just to remind ourselves. Supposing you have a room and it has old painting and you want to paint it anew, a fresh painting. So what do people do? First of all, they will try to scrape off as much of the old paint as possible. Then they will not put new paint on it because there is another coating called primer. Primer's function is to cover the old thing and to make the new paint stick to it. So, first of all, a white primer is given so that it will cover the old remaining paint completely. Then only the new paint is applied twice or thrice to make it very strong. Now, the analogy is Avarana Shakti is like that primer which covers up, and then Vikshepa Shakti are the projecting power, covering power and projecting power. Covering power is called Avarana Shakti and projecting power is called Vikshepa Shakti. When we are in the waking state and in the dream state, Vikshepa Shakti, projecting power, functions very well. Avarana Shakti, of course, is there. But when we are in deep sleep, this projecting power doesn't work. Only the covering power works. That's why we know we are there, even though the whole world has disappeared. I know that I am there, but I do not know who I am really. I know I am there, but I am not aware of my true nature. At least I am not thinking that I am so and so. That much is 50% power of the deluding power is removed there. That is why that state of deep sleep gives us so much of peace, as the scripture describes so beautifully. In the state of deep sleep, a king is no king, a pauper is no pauper, a pandit is no pandit, an illiterate person is no illiterate person, rich person, poor person, learned or ignorant, powerful or powerless, everybody absolutely becomes equal, because there doesn't exist no second object there. So we are all there feeling, I am, I am, I am. But I do not know, we do not know who we really are. So both these powers have to be completely removed.
So aham is our true nature. Aham is none other than Brahman. But whatever is added to this aham, so that is called ahankara. Whenever we are talking egoism, egotism, ism and tism is referring to the kara. So this aham kara is real problem. Ego is no problem, because that is what we really are. And because of this egoism, everybody is tremendously deluded. That is the fact Shankaracharya is trying to tell us here. Aham buddhyaiva mohinya yojayitva vriter balat vikshepa shakti purusham vikshepa iti tadgunai. The projecting power called vikshepa shakti, through the aid of the veiling power, avarna shakti, connects a man with the siren of an egotistic idea and distracts him through the attributes of that. Meaning is really speaking very simple. What does it mean? So here we are talking about this. What does this ahankara do? First of all, it covers up our own true nature. Secondly, it makes us think we are somebody else. In this case, we are the body, we are the mind. And all the attributes of the body, I am man, I am a woman, I am beautiful, ugly, learned, ignorant, rich, poor, happy, unhappy, and everybody admires me, everybody hates me. And like this, it makes us completely identify ourselves. And the tragedy of it is, whatever we are doing, even many times when we are doing repeating spiritual practice, repeating God's name, unknown, unconsciously, the pride or egotism comes. Oh, I am doing so much of japa, I am reading so many books, I can speak so beautifully, so many people admire me, I am somebody, I am not like ordinary nobody. That is how the power of this egotism, through the power of both covering power, avarana shakti, and through the distracting power or projecting power called vikshepa shakti, binds us. This is what Shankara is telling. The projecting power, first, this covering power, avarana shakti, makes our nature completely covered, and it makes us feel that we are somebody else. Then this vikshepa shakti connects a man with the siren. Means here, it is a ghost, it is a bhuta of an egotistic idea, and distracts him through the attributes of that. What does it mean? Distracts means all the things that are conducive to the body, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, all these things, it makes us go through all these things, one after the other. And if anybody obstructs, we become very, very angry about it. So what does Shankara wants to tell us? That you be very, very careful about this egoism. Every time this ego tries to come, cut it off completely. Is it possible for us to cut it off completely? It looks as though it is really impossible for us to do that. So what is the way to do that? It's we have to identify ourselves. Without that, we cannot survive. But instead of saying, I am so and so, we can connect ourselves to the divine with the idea. I am a child of the mother. I am a devotee of the mother. I am a servant of the mother. This is what Sri Ramakrishna used to say. It is impossible for this egotism to be completely destroyed. It is like the tree of a banyan. You cut it to the roots today and tomorrow new leaves start showing up from every side of it. Only by God's grace, after the experience of Nirvikalpa Samadhi, only then when a person completely identifies himself with God, then only forever this bondage is totally removed. Until that time, it is far better for us. I am a child and my mother is looking after me, and whatever my mother does, it is good for all of us. Now, this was what I was talking about. Everywhere it has become a race to talk about the present corona disease. A devotee's reaction should be totally different. All is happening by the will of mother, and we are all equal, equally children of mother, whether we know it or not. She knows that we are her children, and therefore the divine mother, whatever she does, is for the good of the people. Just I want to remind you, scientists quite a number of years back discovered, whenever there is a forest fire, whenever there is a terrible floods, famines, etc., invariably some great good will come after that. And this is called holistic idea. Somewhere some people, some things suffer. Somewhere it is rebalanced with something great, like the waves in an ocean, what Swami Vivekananda says. Somewhere a wave is very high and somewhere it is very low. So happiness, unhappiness, good and evil, they're always playing by the will of the mother. But the ultimate result is always it is for our good. This is how we have to react to every situation in life. So do not panic. Accept it. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And whatever is not going to happen is not going to happen. But let us do what best we know society dictates for our good. We have to follow. After that, what happens is not in our hands. So the essence of what we discussed in this last shloka is, it's very difficult to get rid of the ego. All spiritual practices, in fact, are only to whittle down, to slowly reduce. It will take a long time, but it is to reduce the ego. What does that mean? Are we going to destroy the ego? No, it can it can never be destroyed. Then what does it mean to reduce? Transform it from identifying with this, what is called limited. Identify with the unlimited. Identify with God. Relate ourselves with God. And in the Bhakti scriptures, there are five beautiful means told us. And the means is this. Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya, and Mathura. All these five have only one thing in common, and that is our relationships will become divinized. That is what it really means. So until that time, what are we going to do? That is what Shankaracharya is proceeding in the Viveka Chudamani. Samyak Vivekaha Sphutabodha Janyo Vibhajya Drig Drishya Padartha Tattvam Chinati Maya Krita Moha Bandham Yasmat Vimuktasya Punarna Samsrutihi. Perfect discrimination brought on by direct realization distinguishes the true nature of the subject from that of the object and breaks the bond of delusion created by Maya. And there is no more transmigration for one who has been freed from this. Beautiful shloka. See, if you remember, I used to talk about the five commandments of Sri Ramakrishna. And one of the commandments is that constantly practice discrimination. So what is discrimination? There are many of our devotees who read about this Viveka, discrimination, and the definition of discrimination. So in the Viveka Chudamani itself, it is given the discrimination between the real and the unreal, vastu and avastu, nitya and anitya. I would like to speak a little bit about this. So I have put it in my own simple way. What is the practice of discrimination? Anything can happen to anybody at any time, at any place, in any way. Anything can happen to anybody at any time, at any place, and in any way. Just to give an illustration, suppose somebody is walking and he thinks that there is nothing which can destroy me now. Suddenly, his foot may slip and with that he may die. Or a person is crossing a road and there seem to be no traffic there. Suddenly from somewhere something comes, dashes against him. On this spot, he is dead. Or it may be so a big disaster can happen. Somebody has fallen from the aeroplane and he may safely land somewhere, which if you recollect, a few years back at Mangalore, there was a plane crash. Many people died there. But there were some people who nothing happened to them excepting a few scratches. Now, is it accidental happening or is it a deliberate happening? I believe those who are destined to die, they died. And those who are not destined, they became completely free. Now, my point is that this world, anything can happen at any time. This beautiful truth was brought out by Yudhishthira, and what is he telling here? Beautifully he is telling anything can happen at any time to anybody. And Yudhishthira was asked a question in the Yakshaprashna. What is the most wonderful thing? And his one of the greatest answers in the whole literature of spiritual literature of mankind is Ahanyahani Bhutani Gachanti Yama Mandiram Seshahastavaramichanti Kimascharyam Atahparam. Every minute, millions of beings are dying and entering into the abode of Yamadharmaraja, death. And wonder of wonders, those who are alive, they never think death is ever going to come to them. What could be more wonderful than this fact? I want to recollect to you a beautiful story, and you might know already from, might have heard from me many times. This was Yudhishthira who gave such beautiful replies to Yaksha, and Yaksha, who none other than Yamadharmaraja, and was very pleased, and he granted permission for the five Pandavas to drink water. And at the same time, he also blessed them, pleased with these rightful answers. Now the Pandavas at that time were living in a forest. And one day, a poor Brahmana came. And where the Pandavas were camping, they put up an emergency bell. The purpose of that emergency bell is any emergency comes, or any urgent news is to be conveyed to everybody, only under those circumstances, like your fire alarm, that bell had to be rung. So one day a poor Brahmana came to get some help from Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira was a little bit busy that day. So he told, sir, please come tomorrow. I will help you. And Bhimsena was passing by. He overheard it. And immediately he ran to that bell, emergency bell, and started ringing it furiously. And then everybody ran there. What is the emergency? Bhimsena smiled and said, it is not emergency. We are celebrating the great victory of Yudhishthira over death. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Well, just now I heard Yudhishthira saying to the poor Brahmana who came for his help, come tomorrow. That means I am going to be alive till tomorrow, and the Brahmana is also going to be alive till tomorrow. This is called conquering death. So what could be greater news than this? Yudhishthira realized the great mistake he did. Immediately he sent for the Brahmana and did whatever he needed to do and sent him away. It's a beautiful story reminding us, and that's what Sri Ramakrishna wants us to remind. Remember constantly, excepting God, everything is ephemeral. And we need to emphasize this again and again and again. In fact, I recollect one real incident from a Christian monastery. There was a Christian monastery, and there was a novice who was a very sincere person. And one day, soon after his joining, he went to the father superior and he told him, Father, I would like to progress in spiritual life. What is the best way? And the father superior, who was a very great spiritual person himself, he replied, my son, when you get up in the morning, say to yourself, this may be going my last day on earth. Let me do my best to remember God. And when you go to bed, you pray to the Lord and say, oh Lord, this may be my last night on earth. Let me remember you. If you can remember this fact morning and before you go to bed, you are sure to progress in spiritual life. So this is called Viveka. Now, as soon as we hear about this power of discrimination, we start thinking about straight away Brahman and this Jagat, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Far be from it. We are not fit to discriminate, to practice discrimination in that way. Then what do we need to do? And that is why there are four simple steps even to reach that last step. The first step is that I want to be as happy as possible. This is called Sukha Dukha Viveka. Surprisingly, many people don't even know that we have to deliberate, create conditions or causes for our happiness. So for that, we have to sit and think deeply and say, what am I capable? What are my potentialities? And how best can I develop? And what am I doing for developing these things? This is the first thing. I want to be happy. I don't want to suffer, whether it is physically, mentally, intellectually, morally, or spiritually. Even for ordinary people, this rule applies. What to speak of? So-called spiritual people. So here, the first thing is Sukha Dukha Viveka. And when a person decides and is firmly determined, I will do my best to be happy, then the second step of discrimination is karya akarya. What should I do to make myself more happy? And I'm not talking about temporary pleasures. I'm talking about a wise man is one who wants to be happy not only now, but in future and even the next life until he reaches God. So life is nothing but a progress from a lower state of happiness to the highest state of happiness, which is called our own potentially divine nature. So, karya akarya, what should be done, what should not be done. Now, this disease has made very clear to many people, millions of people, I would say billions of people, that if you want to avoid, these are the things you should do, these are not the things you should not do. Why not apply this to for our own happiness? Let us be a little more selfish and try to make our life more fruitful. So this is the second stage in the process of acquiring what is called discrimination. Then comes the third discrimination, what is called Nitya Anitya Viveka, what is permanent and what is temporary. When we forget this point and focus on temporary things more than on permanent things, a lot of misery all of us have to go through. And in fact, if we analyze the present disease, and that is one of the reasons why it has come, to make us awake what is temporary and what is permanent. We are not talking about Brahman and Jagat. We are talking in our own ordinary worldly life. There are certain things which will give us permanent happiness or more happiness. It may take time. We may not be getting immediate pleasures or joys, but with patience, if we work out, then overall our life could be very happy. Interestingly, if you walk into any bookshop, there are the greatest number of selling books, best sellers, is not stories, not thrillers, but self-help books. They are everywhere. So what is the self-help? How can I become a better person than what I am now? This is what we are talking about, Nitya Anitya Viveka. And when a person, through deep discrimination for a long time, after understanding the import of the scriptures clearly, when such a person moves forward to that, reaches a state, and then he realizes that there is something vastu and avastu, which is, in other words, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. And mind you, even this fourth step is also a temporary step only, because when a person realizes God, then the distinction between God, which is eternal, and the world, which is temporary, it is this distinction is completely destroyed. Even the idea that this world is something different, something separate, something distinct, that idea itself will completely disappear. Even though not directly relevant to this subject, I would like to pass my thoughts to you over this. One of the objections against the Jnana Marga brought by dualists, Dvaitinsa, is that you are talking about power of Maya. Is this power of Maya, is it with Brahman? Is it in Brahman? Because both are problematic things. If it is in Brahman, duality will come. If it is with Brahman, duality will come. And if somebody says no, there can be no ajnana in Brahman, who is pure embodiment of jnana, then where from this world has come? The beautiful answer to that is that you are thinking that there is a power of Brahman. Itself is the power of Brahman. It is pure delusion. And Shankaracharya gives a beautiful example for that. When you go to bed and have a dream, or if you attend a magic show, then the magician will bring out a hat and then he will show you some seeds, and you will see the seeds within a few seconds, they grow into beautiful trees, and immediately fruits also will come, and he starts eating and he will show everything. So we all know it is only a trick of the hand. If the whole tree is completely a delusion, a magical trick. But often we forget the cause of that tree, which is called the seed, is also part of the magic. What Shankaracharya is trying so hard to convey to us is that we are so much thinking about this avidya, maya, bhranti, mithya, that concept itself works only when we are in the, either in the waking state or dream state. Tell me, suppose you are in deep sleep. Do you bother yourself about what is Brahman and what is Mithya? The idea itself is not there because both this is God, he is eternal, and this is the world, which is ephemeral. Both these ideas are completely wrong ideas born of Maya. You cannot talk about Brahman as eternal. That speaking that Brahman is eternal, God is eternal, all-pervading, etc., only in the context of what this world is we are experiencing. The moment we transcend the mind, this idea where from the Maya has come, where from the Jagat has come, the whole thing will disappear. This is a profound idea that we have to realize. And this Bhranti, delusion, produces this ahankara, and ahankara reinforces this delusion. That is why we have to practice constant discrimination, and that was the commandment, fourth commandment of Sri Ramakrishna. Then how long? Every time we have to practice. You are happy? Okay, you tell this is temporary. You are unhappy? Don't say it is permanent. This is also temporary. And your life is full of misery, don't think it is permanent. When life itself is impermanent, there is nothing called permanent unhappiness. So, samyak vibhedha sphutabodha janyaha. That when we go on practicing, we understand crystal clearly the knowledge. What is it? Drik drishya padartha tattvam. I am the seer, everything else is the seen. I am the subject, everything is the object. I am the knower, everything is the known. What is the point here? The point is, here is a law and we all know it, but fall into the trap. Whatever I see is not me. I see a house, I am not the house. I see a car, I am not the car. I see another person, I am not that person. Accepting me, whatever I experiences is completely opposite, nothing to do with I, and there is no identity like light and darkness. This is a profound idea, but what about us poor people like us? We think we know. Everything else I am not, but I am the body, I am the mind. Am I experiencing the body? Yes, every day, thousands of times, whenever I look at a mirror, I am experiencing my body. Whenever I look at anybody, I am experiencing my body. What am I talking about? Oh, whenever we see somebody, then we are waiting. Oh, this person. What does he think of me? Only what does he think of me? Does he appreciate me? Or does he criticize me? And if he appreciates me, even if I am not appreciable, he is my greatest friend. And if he criticizes me, even with the most welfare, desire for our welfare, and we dislike that person. So we are so much experiencing this body day and night, and yet we are not thinking, whatever I experience is not me. I am experiencing the body. I am not this body. This idea has to be firmly rooted in our mind. But in order to make this idea then I must be somebody. Yes, you are somebody. You belong to God. You are a child of God. You are a devotee of God. And you are a friend of God. You are a servant of God. You are a neighbor to God. And everything relate with God. And I am that God. But here, don't use that discrimination. I am seeing God, so I am not God. I am thinking of God, so I am not God. Don't bring in that idea. There will come a time, even that idea that I belong to God also belongs to the realm of the mind only, and ultimately that also had to be described. Anyway, I'm just giving you a hint. Then these people who follow the path of knowledge, when they go on denying everything and completely thinking only about Brahman, or what we call God, Nirguna Brahma. God is thought of as Saguna, Sakara, and those people are called Bhaktas, devotees. Then the same God is thought of as Nirguna and Nirakara, Nirvikara. Those people, they are called Jnanis. But the point here is, common point here is, both of them are thoughts in the minds of both these people. Jnani also is thinking, it is a thought. Bhakta, devotee, is also thinking about God. That is also a thought. And that thought is not me. I am not the body. I am not the thought. When we say, I am not the mind, the idea is that whatever thoughts arise in my mind, that is not me. And the final thought, which is, I am thinking only of God, that is the greatest final obstruction for our oneness. So what happens when that last thought is removed? By God's grace, and we cannot remove it. Only God can remove it. And when we can remove that thought, then the division between me and God completely disappears. That's what Sri Ramakrishna means. When the I dies, that means I, the thought of body, I, the thought of the mind, when it is completely destroyed, then there is no I, there is no you, there is no union, there is no liberation, there is no sadhana. This is the highest truth. But until that time, to counter delusion with another delusion, a negative delusion with a positive delusion, that is called spiritual practice. Lest you may not understand what I am talking about, I will tell you a small story from the life of Swami, from the writings of Swami Yatheeshwarananda Maharaj. In his Meditation and Spiritual Life, gives a beautiful story. The story is this. There was a man, always he used to carry a chadar, a upper cloth, and inside that chadar, something bulging he used to carry. And that was a very odd thing. And one day somebody asked, sir, you seem to be carrying something and it is covered. So can you tell me what is it you are carrying? And that man replied, yes, my friend, I am carrying a cage. Oh, why are you carrying a cage? You know, I am terribly frightened of snakes. I see snakes everywhere. So, what are you carrying? I am carrying a mongoose inside the cage. And this mongoose is the greatest enemy. As soon as the snakes see the mongoose, they all run away. So, I feel very safe. The man asked, but you are imagining that there are so many snakes. There is not a single snake here. Then the man opened his cloth, showed the cage. Cage was there. But the cage was empty. There was nothing inside the cage. And he said, I know that the snakes of whom I am afraid are imaginary, and therefore I am carrying an imaginary mongoose, which is the antidote for all these snakes. I hope you are getting this essence of this story. To get rid of this illusory idea of the world and our egoism or egotism, we need to bring in another idea that is also illusory idea only, and that is the thought of God. What strange thing, Swami, are you talking about? Strange, it is not strange. The truth is, we are all potentially divine. We are in fact divine. Only we have forgotten we are divine. So this forgetfulness doesn't mean we don't remember, not only we don't remember we are divine. It means that we remember we are somebody else. We forget who we really are, but we think we are somebody else. So there is no absence of thought. There is a thought, but it is not the right thought. So for that, the antidote is that you bring the right thought, and with that right thought, remove the wrong thought. Now this is what Sri Ramakrishna used to give an illustration. If your foot is stuck with lots of thorns, then bring another thorn, big thorn, and with the help of that big thorn, remove every small thorn. Ultimately, what will you do with that big thorn, which helped us to remove? That you have to throw it away. Can you throw it away? No, sir. You cannot throw it away, because we are not talking about a thorn. We are talking about a thought. This thorn is the thought about God. And we cannot get rid of that thought. And that last thought, with the help of which we gotten rid of every other thought, it is called Brahmakara Vritti, Krishnakara Vritti, Ramakara Vritti, Kalikakara Vritti, Christakara Vritti, whatever you say. It is a Vritti. So that thought cannot be removed by us, because the law is one thought can be removed only by another thought. Therefore, the last thought can be removed by another thought. So ad infinitum, that is why infinite regress. So we have to pray, O Lord, I am unable to throw this thought. Out of your grace, you take away this thorn from me. That means God destroys that thought, and with the destruction of the thought, the mind also disappears, like the reflection totally disappears with the breaking of the mirror, and then we alone are left. There is no description that now I reached, previously I did not reach, and all those things. These are the beautiful ideas, but the important point of this particular verse is that we have to practice this discrimination. And as I mentioned earlier, we should not start with Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. We have to start with the discrimination between happiness and unhappiness, and what is right activity and wrong activity, what is permanent and what is temporary. And then only when the right time comes, when we grow spiritually, intellectually, morally, then the last thorn, that is the discrimination between the real and the unreal, vastu and avastu. So if we can do it, and we have to do it, that is called drit drishya viveka. Then only this discrimination, chinati maya krita moha bandham, this terrible bondage called moha, which is the result of maya, that is delusion, this can be destroyed only through this discrimination. And once the discrimination destroys, a person knows who God is, who one is, tasmat vimuktasya, he becomes completely free, and punarna samsrutihi, and he is never again to be reborn. And that is the goal of life, whatever path we take. But Sri Ramakrishna taught us, it is the path of devotion which is the most important, and it is this path alone which, by the grace of God, that can release us from this wrong thought that I am not God. And for that, we have to surrender ourselves to God and pray like small children, or If you cannot do it, let us all go to Varanasi and try to give up our bodies. So we will continue our Vivek Chudamani class next Thursday afternoon. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Viveka, Vairagya, Bhakti and Jnanam.